the power of the blood and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto the death. I didn't know nothing about testifying 30-something years ago when I came to church. And, man, there was no apartment, there was no houses, there was nothing. I was living with my sister, with all of her kids, and I just stood up back there in that little seat wherever I was at with that long hair. Surprised, I don't know if I had the bandana on still or not. And I thanked God for the shoes on my feet. I think they came from the dollar store at that time, but I was thanking God for them because they were better than the shoes I rode in Arkansas, and I thanked God for a house. Man, the next thing I know, after weeks of searching, Tom Nehus, somebody called me and said he had a house, and I went over there, and it was all filled with this beautiful furniture and this Ralph Cramden ice refrigerator, you know, it looked like from the movie The Honeymooners. But that baby was working. It worked for a long time, and it was full of furniture. And he goes, man, I'll rent it to you just like it is for $150 a month. I didn't even have that good job at Walmart yet, Paul, but $150 a month. Man, I probably had enough for 2 months' worth of rent in my pocket at that time. I was tickled. I didn't, you know. But God supplied some of my needs by getting up and overcoming the devil by the power of the blood and the word of my testimony. Now, I've talked to my nephew, Dwayne, a little bit yesterday. We hung out on the phone and talked, and he told me he started calling his kids, his little daughter, Wisdom, and he calls his little son, Knowledge. He said because he realized he was calling him Rowdy. You call somebody Rowdy, you know, it's like calling them, you know, man, you might wind up in jail being a little too rowdy. So he decided to apply some of the word of God. So little sister Wisdom back there between her grandma and grandpa, I mean, there's some things in my life I should have started calling Wisdom and Knowledge, but I like that. I'm going to start calling Wisdom and Knowledge in every day when I wake up, right? When I give, open my spirit up to God and say, God, I commit my spirit into your hands. I need some wisdom and I need some knowledge. You know, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, but it's up to us to start calling some things in. It's up to us to speak the word of God over circumstances. Man, if you're lacking in finances, you need to know Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, some of that is spiritual knowledge. Some of that is wisdom. Some of that is God may be telling you, hey, if God created the earth, have you ever sat up and looked at the stars and the moons and all that pretty stuff? I guess we're going to have an eclipse sometime. Do we already have that eclipse? Okay. And all of that stuff is amazing that God created, but it says he spoke it into existence. Then he spoke us into existence. So I'm going to start calling some things forth. Amen? In Jeremiah 29:11, that's not on the list back there, but you could put it up. And it says that God has a plan for your life, and it is good, not evil. Plans to prosper you, plans to give you a future. Now, on CNN News and other news channels, they have a plan for your life too. It doesn't look good. Their plan looks like we're all going down. We're all going to be broke. The world is going to hell. Well, I'm not, you know, every part of the world I see is right here in Paris, Arkansas. Every part of the world I see is in this Holy Bible that used to be Sister Virginia's here. That Sister Virginia, when she was in her 90s, stood up here. Was that how old Virginia was before she went with the Lord? Stood up here and preached out of this Bible. Every part of my future is in this Bible. And this is the same Bible I think Brother A uses. It's the New Word Transition or something, C&J. I will bless you with a future filled with hope, a future of success, not of suffering. Now, is there times in our life when we're going to suffer? Yeah. But, you know, if you just buy into that broken, busted, and disgusted trip that this is just my part of life, you know, that will stay with you a lot longer than you want. If you'll just do the word of God. If you'll just say, God, here I am. Help me, God. And anytime something goes wrong in my life, I got this weird thing. I used to think when I first got saved, like, why is God doing this to me? And then I realized one of the reasons I was broke and busted and disgusted was because I didn't get up and go to work. It wasn't God that was doing that to me. It was Sam McElhaney that was doing that to me. And any time I've ever accused God of my own irresponsibility, I just got into more irresponsibility. But one day I woke up and realized when I was looking in the mirror, it was Sam McElhaney that was in charge of his destiny with the power of the living God. And all I had to do was be obedient. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Being willing and obedient, when Pastor Kelly gets up here and preaches a message, man, she's preaching from the Word of God, from the heart of God. God gives us these messages. God's given us His Word. God's given us His commandments. Like Sister said, we've been more blessed since we started tithing. I knew about tithing when I was a kid. I was 15, and my mom would take the little money I gave her for rent because I was 15, giving my mom money to stay at the home, $25 a week, and she'd try to pay my tithes out of that and make me do what was right. Now, I knew about it, but I didn't want to do it because my heart wasn't after God. If you ever get a heart after God and realize that all your protection comes from God, all your blessings come from God, everything that I got has come from doing the Word of God. Amen? I will bless you with a future-filled hope, a future of success, not of suffering. Anybody sort of like suffering? I'm into that success word. Now, I showed Sister Millie some papers. I don't know where I put them, but they were from my doctor, and they were blood work and all these numbers and glucose and this coast and that coast and west coast and east coast. But Sam didn't know what they meant. But I did know one thing. The doctor had at the top, all your blood work is good. Your blood work came out good. Now, on the other hand, I had somebody from the insurance company call me a week before, and they, you know, we're from Blue Cross, your employer insurance, and we just want to monitor, do you take this medicine regularly? And I figured, yeah, they want to know if I take that medicine regularly. It costs $1,100, and they pay about $1,030 of it. Of course they want to know that I'm taking that. And they wanted to know some other things, and then they said, well, why aren't you taking this? You're of the age that you might have a stroke or a heart attack. Well, I didn't know that you had these ages that you could have a stroke or a heart attack, but for that other medicine they suggested that I take, the blood work came up that I was doing good, that I really didn't need that. So they had me all shaken up that I was going to take this other medicine. Okay, I'll dig it out. I'm probably pretty sure it was something that I rejected because I prayed and said, God, do I need to take all this? So I may take a little bit of it if God releases me to, but they put some fear on you. And then when I said, well, I'm going for a wellness check, I'll see how good that's doing. So every one of us have a wellness check with God tonight. Every one of us have a wellness check. Man, where is our life at with God? Are we being blessed? Are we buying into any of this suffering? Are we buying into that we don't have a future with God? Are we buying into the world, to the devil's lies, or are we going to just do what God wants us to do? Amen? In Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18, I'm going to be reading from this new translation when they put it up, but I have a King James right here. But it says, in the King James it says, remember the Lord. Instead, remember that the Lord your God gives you the strength to make a living. That's how he keeps the promise he made to your ancestors. In Deuteronomy 8 and 18, remember the Lord God, for it is he that gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish the covenant which he swore to the forefathers. You know, God's giving you power to get wealth. And it's a small amount to give him 10%. But in reality, I've given my whole life to God. And sometimes people say, well, Sam, you work a lot. Man, my work is dedicated to God because wherever I'm at, I'm testifying to Jesus Christ. Whenever I prosper, I'm prospering that the Word of God works in my life. I started tithing when I got saved. The first job I did was I mowed a lady's yard. It was $15. I brought my $1.50. I think I put $2 in the offering here. And all I knew is that when I got saved and came back to God, I remembered my mom trying to make me tithe when I was a kid. And I remembered. See, remember the Lord God. You don't have to remember the times you failed unless it's going to catapult you into some future and success with the living God. But I remembered me fighting against tithing and not wanting to tithe. And I remembered the busted and disgusted, drugged out low-life type mentality that I had, that I remembered waking up on the street behind a bar with half of a 40-ounce left, and the guy woke me up, to had the business there, and I took the cardboard off me I was sleeping under, and he said, "Man, I thought you were dead." And I got up, and I looked at him, and I said, "No, sir, not yet." And I finished whatever that beer I had, and I went and did what I had to do. I remembered not the results of not tithing, of not being successful. And when I came to God, I came at the altar and I said, "God, here's my life. I give it to you." Not because I'm so smart, not because I'm so intelligent, not because I knew anything about working, because I gave him my life. Then I decided I was going to do what he told me. And from that time that I tithed off that $2 30-something years ago, I mean, I can't even tell people how much money I make in a year. I can't tell people that, no, I don't know a lot about them blood numbers, but I know a lot about this real estate contract, that if it goes to pass, I know how much tithes I'm going to pay out of it. Before I do anything else, I'm going to calculate the tithes that comes out. Before I do anything else, I'm going to ask God what bills I need to pay out of it, what needs to come off my debt. I need to calculate that. Now, but I know where God's tucking me from. It says, remember the Lord your God. When you come into prosperity, when you get the job that he gives you, that you asked him for, when you get the degree of the place you told God you wanted to be, when you get to the top, whether it's a step at a time, you have to do your part for God. Because remember, don't forget God. He's the one doing everything. Amen? In Joshua 1 and verse 9, this isn't up there. This verse is on my heart, so I'm just going to roll with it. Joshua 1:9. I commanded you to be strong and brave. Don't ever be afraid or discouraged. You know, my word for discouraged is encouraged. I call people and I ask them things. Like, "Hey, it's this person, they were supposed to put their lights on, and well, we can't really tell you that." I said, "Well, my name's on the contract over there for that building, and I have the power to, like, you know, and I'm trying to find out if I should give this guy another chance." And then she said, "Well, we're really not supposed to tell you, but I can tell you that the lights have been put back on." And I said, "Well, I feel like God's telling me to pray over your life." And I said, "I pray in the name of Jesus that may the Lord God perfect everything that concerns you and bless you indeed. And as you've helped me, may the Lord help you." And for a moment, that person couldn't say nothing. And I sat down. I felt the Holy Ghost all over me. And with holding back tears, she said, "You will not believe how much I needed to hear that right now at this moment in my life." And now I was just doing business, doing business, checking on somebody, trying to figure out maybe I'll give this kid one more chance, because he had the heart to text me and say, "I got back on drugs and I lost my job. And I'm going to do this and I'm going to get the power back on and I'm going to fix the things. I'm going to get rid of these dogs. And if you'll give me one more chance, I'll have some money for you." So, you know, I already put an eviction notice on his phone. I've already got an eviction notice set up. So either way he decides, we can go either way. Now, I'm hoping, because I told him the same thing I just told y'all in the first verse. God has a plan for your life. Man, you were in plumber school. You're an apprentice plumber. You could have your own business. What's wrong with you? Man, don't go back on that, man. I mean, I sent him for a job. I kept his $50 towards the rent. I didn't pay him for the job, you know. At least I got $50 off the rent. But if he moves and the place is clean, I'll give him his thing. But if he does right, I'll get him some jobs and he'll make some money. But back to this. I've commanded you to be strong and brave. Don't ever be afraid or discouraged. Man, don't be discouraged. Be encouraged that God is with you today. And if God's with you, 8 years ago, my wife used to say this, because I said, "Well, I don't know if this is going to work out, you know. I don't know, you know, me and you're going to gene. Oh, God's got this. God's got this." Well, after I married her, God's got it still. He's got a lot more. You know, when you get married, you got responsibilities. But God's got all of our lives in his hands. Amen? Amen? "I am the Lord your God, and I will be there to help you wherever you go." You know, God's with you at work. God's with you at the doctor's office. God's with you when you're at home trying to figure out what movie to watch. God's with you when it don't seem to work right. Amen? In verse 8, it says, the book of this law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. If you want to put 8 up, you can. Meditate means to mutter. It means to speak out. It means speak over your life. Speak the word of God over your life. Meditate. Man, God wants to do great things in this church. God wants to fill every church in Paris, Arkansas. There is a revival coming on the face of the earth. Yeah, things are bad if you watch the news, but there is a revival. Everything is set up for the greatest revival in America to be. Amen? And then the end shall come. I mean, and the end's not bad for us the way I read. I like the little bit of gold I got around my neck, but God's got all the gold so much he makes it streets out of it up there. So, I'm pretty encouraged to have some gold here, but I'm pretty encouraged to go to the place where the streets are gold. Meditate there and night that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, and then you shall make your way prosperous. Man, prosperity and God all go together in the Bible. In Luke 17:32-33, this is another one. I like the word remember. You know, we don't live in the past. According to Philippians, you know, remember not the former things, you know, but I press on forward to the high prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But this is Jesus telling his disciples, remember what happened to Lot's wife. And Jesus is preaching this in the New Testament to his disciples. Don't turn around and turn your back on God. Don't go the wrong way. Don't be negative. Remember what happens to Lot's wife. People who try to save their own lives will lose them, and those who lose their lives will save them. My definition is those who put their lives in Christ, God's going to take care of you. I got a buddy. I love the guy. We're friends again. We were not talking for a while, but I made peace with him. I made the bigger first step, and now he doesn't talk to me as much, which is still good, but we're talking and getting along, and he's always telling me, if you get some extra money, you got to buy those beans and potatoes and all that canned goods, and you got to stock it up. Hide it under your bed. Hide it under your kid's bed. Hide it in your mom's house. Hide that food everywhere. The end is coming. There's not going to be no food. Oh, when the end comes for me, I'm going to be with the living God, and he's got all the food, you know. And the real end is I'm going to go to the streets of gold, you know. And I understand just the welcoming dinner, the marriage supper of the lambs, like a multiple year feast, and they just keep bringing food. So food is the last thing I'm worried about. What I'm worried about is the souls that don't know Jesus Christ. What I'm more worried about is people that I go to church with for 30 years that are still in the baby steps that I came out of 30 years, and I'm trying to figure out how to help them or where they're messing it at. And sometimes I can't help them because you can take people and they have to be exactly where they're at, but until they start doing the Word of God. Because, see, there's one thing about sitting here hearing the Word of God, and there's another realm when you start doing the Word of God. Because there's one thing about sitting there, and God may be prompting you to say a testimony. Man, you be thinking like, man, God ain't telling me to stand up and ask him for no wife. I've already got that problem taken care of 8 years ago, and June 1st is my favorite anniversary because that's when Brother Angelo married us. But my wife planned this nice, spectacular wedding on the hot summer day down there in Charleston, Arkansas at the Greenhurst Nursing Home under the gazebo, and she likes that day. So, you know, I haven't announced it because I'm going to roll with her because, you know, after 8 years, you don't want to be arguing over what date you're married. You know, just make her happy and smile. And, you know, July 11th, I'll be married 8 years to this woman. And believe me, in Sam McElhaney's life, that's like a lifetime. That's a long time. And surely, God's got us. God's got this, just like she said. And she said that saying a lot when we were, like, seeing each other and hanging out. Oh, God's got this. God's got this. She said it so much, I put it on a T-shirt, and I took credit for it. I said, man, I came up with this beautiful T-shirt myself. But I thank God for 8 years. And, you know, nobody stays married 8 years, 1 year, 30 years. 50 years, Brother Angelo, how long y'all been married? 49? Oh, my gosh. Nobody stays married that long without overlooking some things. Because there's some things that she'll like that you won't like. There's some things that you'll like that she won't like. But, you know, a successful marriage or a successful business relationship is coming together for the purpose. Coming together for the purpose that you said you loved each other. Coming together for the purpose of Jesus Christ because you go to the same church. Coming together for the purpose that if there's problems, you're not going to down-wrap your brother. Or you're not going to kill your brother or sister. You're going to do the best you can because, see, division isn't from God. But God is into addition. And when people see us loving one another and when people see prayers being answered and when people see things like we're doing, I mean, feeding hundreds of people on a Wednesday in the community, feeding another couple hundred of seniors on Monday night, and the world says that we're all going down and everybody was dying of COVID, and God used this little handful of people to step up and bless the community. Pastor K getting out there, I was worried about that outside room. And then, you know, we was preaching outside and we had people in wheelchairs and dogs fighting and people wanting to know what all the screaming was about because they heard Pastor Kel down at the courthouse, man. But man, God is so good. And whatever you think of yourself, God's got a plan for your life that'll blow your mind. Amen? Remember what happened to Lot's wife. Don't look back. Look forward. People who try to save their lives will lose them. And those who lose their lives will save them. Amen? Colossians 3:15 was an excellent word because I get rattled a lot. I used to get rattled. I was rattled. I was telling Brother Angelo I had this deal going on a mountain, beautiful piece of land. People bid $15,000 over it. It was the most biggest deal I ever made, $274,000, 15 over the asking. Then the people couldn't get the money. So it don't matter if it would have been a $300,000 deal. If the people can't get the money, it wasn't nothing. And the realtor called me after a lot, and I had to call him. He kept telling me this is going on, that's going on. So finally, I got tired of hearing this guy because I said to myself, man, something's not genuine right with this guy. And I called the bank, and then she would tell me this story and that story and this story, and oh, this is going to go through. And, you know, after you hear the same story a couple times with a different angle, I started calling the other guy back like I hadn't really talked to the banker, and then he'd tell me a version, and it wasn't quite the same. And then I'd repeat what she had just told me, and he goes, well, she might have said something like that to me. But then he calls me like two Thursday mornings ago, this week Thursday, it's about 10 days ago, and says, well, we're having to write a deal. They don't want to keep your client anymore. It might take longer. This and that, and I just said good morning, and he started telling me all this, and he goes, well, I don't know how good of a morning it is. I said, sir, every morning in my life is a good morning. I can't help what your clients can't get. I can't help their problems, but every morning in my life is good. And first of all, I don't think he liked that because he wanted me to agree how sad and sorry life was because he wasn't making any money because his clients couldn't get the money. So I just went to God and started talking to God. But I was telling Brother Angelo, everybody, I was praying about this deal going through. And every time I had somebody pray, I still felt this little feeling down in here. Every time I had somebody pray, it's like something ain't quite right with this deal. And you know, if I would have listened to that, I could have probably ended it and been into this deal a lot sooner. But one person called, like around the same day that person had put that offer, and it was this person, but the other people was in. And these people, they're wanting to give $250,000 for this piece of land too. So I'm going to vote that this is the deal that God wanted me to have in the first place. And I'm going to believe that, you know, to me, I was going to make a certain amount with that. I'm going to make a double amount with this. So I'm going to believe that God really has this plan for my life that's more bigger than I can even think. And I'm just going to start voting God every morning when I get up. I'm going to vote God for wisdom. I'm going to vote God for here's my spirit, God, do what you want me to do. Have me to be at the right place at the right time. And most of all, help me to win souls. But I talked to you about overlooking. This is out of a Kenneth Hagin magazine, and it's his daughter talking about her dad. And it was out of a Father's Day message, and it says, how to forget. Forgiving is an often overlooked skill. We can forgive, but it's not always easy to forget. One definition for the word forget is to disregard intentionally. When somebody does me wrong, rarely do I forget it. There was a guy at the gas station when I went yesterday going to the office for a little bit to write this deal up. And the dude burned me. I gave him some of his security back. And I didn't know. I just seen a young man over there with a flat tire trying to glue it, trying to put that thing in. Here's some little girl that he's hustling, what a big shot he is, and he can't even fix the flat tire. I said, why don't you go to the gas station? I said, they're open till 12. Now, see, all he would have had to do is go to the gas station. Now, I wasn't going to tell him I was going to pay for it. He would have went over there and ordered four tires, but I would have paid for the glue or the tire to get fixed. Now, he didn't do that because he knows he burned me, and he knows technically he made an enemy out of me. But I offered because of that girl's sake and how hot it was, you know, to try to help him. That wasn't me. Sam Abernathy would have just walked by and spit at him and thought, well, that serves you right, you jerk, because that's really how I feel sometimes. But the God in me wanted to help him. The God in me, and I told him, if you go over there, they'll put some glue on it. They'll seal it up, and at least it'll get you for a couple of days. But obviously there wasn't enough God in me to buy him a new tire. You know, there wasn't enough God to, you know, I mean, I have to save that for somebody that I actually like, I think. Maybe next week I will be at buying him a tire, but I wasn't there this week. But I'm forgetting. I'm trying to forgive that guy. But I remember, you know, how he burned me. I remember how I had to go to this place because the police were over there because he was threatening to burn the rent house down, and his girlfriend was shattered and scared. And I remember how her mother called me and helped me fill out the papers to get rid of him. And sometimes if people in your life, you know, if they're not going to do right, it's not that hard to get rid of them and excommunicate them. Now, the rent kept getting paid. You know, sometimes you just have to do what you got to do in life. But man, I'm forgetting. I'm trying to forgive that kid. You know, maybe in the future he'll turn a new leaf. But forgetting is an overlooked skill. And remember, it's disregard intentionally. I have to intentionally make a purpose to try to forgive people. Now, there's people in my life that may not be up to the word of faith like I am. And rather than getting mad at where they're at, I just need to love them where they're at. Whether it's my wife, whether it could be my sister, whether it could be my niece. Wherever people are at with God, I'm not responsible where you're at. I'm responsible in trying to get you to come up a little bit. But if you're happy with where you're at, I'm happy with where you're at. But I just want you to be in heaven one day. Amen? So there have been times when my dad and I were out to eat at the mall, and people walked up to him and said, Pastor Hagin, I'm so glad I ran into you. I need to ask your forgiveness. And he looked at them and said, for what? The person recounted what they had said or did against him, and he told them he had no recollection of what they were even talking about. He knew that he had to let go of bitterness and be blessed. We must choose to forget on purpose. It's easy to dwell on a negative and grab on a victim mentality. We can choose to let go and grab. We can only do that by forgetting offenses, the wrongs people have done to us. I can't change somebody's mind what they think about me. If they think I work too much, if they think that, you know, I need to do this to be a better Christian, all I can do is, like, forgive people and overlook people and try to do the best I can. And overlooking people, sometimes even in relationships, if you want to be married a long time and you don't agree with your husband and your husband's the head of the house, and maybe sometimes my wife might have the better ideals, so sometimes I have to humble myself and say, man, I need to do that because God may be putting that in my spirit, and I have to pray about it. But somewhere, even if it doesn't go right and he doesn't do what you want to do and she don't do what you want to do, somebody's got to forget to let love come out. And love always wins according to the Bible. Amen? All right, I'm going to go back to John 10:27. I skipped over to the first one. We'll go back to the other one. My sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Know God's voice and know what he's saying and follow what he says. Go back to the 3:15 verse. I had that wrote down, but to John 10. In Colossians 3:15, every one of you as part of the body of Christ, and you were chosen to live together in peace. So let that peace that comes from Christ control your thoughts and be grateful. And Brother A was pointing out a word to me this week that in one of the Bibles, it says, let that peace rule in your heart like an umpire. And this is talking about your thoughts. So the devil puts thoughts of depression in your life. And if the peace of God's in your heart, you can make a rule like an umpire and cast that thought right out. The devil puts thoughts in your heart and your mind that you're not going to make it today, that you're not going to have this, you're not going to have that, you're not going to prosper. You have to let the peace of God rule in your heart and cast those thoughts that the devil's trying to put in you, cast them out in the name of Jesus. Casting down all imaginations and every high ideal that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. So if you have the knowledge of God and you know that God has a plan for your life and that plan is good, why would you take the time to entertain the calling on your life or the place where God has put you in your life or the ministry that God has put you in your life? Why would you even give the devil time to mess with your mind, to say that your kids ain't going to be saved? They're going to be saved if you talk to God. You know what? And really, I put my kids in God's hands a long time ago when their mother took them. And you know, when their mother took them, I said, God, there's nothing I can do about this. But when I got saved, I tried to reestablish a relationship with them. And whichever way they go isn't my fault. It's their fault because they're adults and they can do what they do. But now am I believing that one day they're going to be in heaven? Yeah, they're all going to be in heaven in the name of Jesus. Amen? Casting down all imaginations that would exalt himself above the knowledge of God. If the Bible says that I'm going to be blessed, why would I let the devil say I'm not going to be blessed? If God told me to get a real estate license and try to and do real estate and keep my job at Walmart and keep doing the ministry here at Paris Christian Center and keep an exciting, happy life, have money to sow into people's lives and kids' lives, if God told me all that, why would I let the devil try to talk me into look back like Lot's wife? And I always think of Lot's wife, she turned into a pillar of salt. Now, if you put too much, that's too much salt. Can you imagine a big thing of salt, your human body salt? That's a whole lot of bitterness. That's a whole lot of salt. Too much salt to ruin the taste of food. Man, if you keep looking back, thinking you're messing out something from your past when God's giving you this new future, and even if you're not walking into the divine calling and the prizes of the Most High God, even if your prayers ain't all the way God answered yet, even if the finances ain't lined up yet, but the prize is going forward and you're trying to look back figuring something out, all you got to do is just talk to God and give him your life. Say, God, help me here. Help me not to look back. Amen? Help me not to be bitter about what I'm believing for that didn't work out, whether it's a husband or a wife, whether it's for a new house or a new car. God will work it out for you to have exactly what he wants for you. And if he's put it in your heart that you're going to have a new car or a new house or a new husband or a new wife, I mean one if you're not married. I don't mean like changing wives like right now, you know. I mean, let me rephrase that one. But look, if God's put that in your heart, it's going to come to pass. I was driving Sister Mill's new car the other day. Me and Brother A went and ate a good meal. Brother A used to take me out when I was just coming in. I like to call myself the bum Christian because Brother Angelo used to buy me all the food at that time because I didn't know how to whip out any money because I didn't have none at that time. But he'd say, man, he'd see me eat that hamburger real fast like I was starving, like I just moved off the streets of Chicago or something. He'd tell me to order another hamburger. Now I get to take him out and let him buy what he wants and pay for it. Now, he wants to pay for it sometimes, but if I got a stack of money, I'm paying. Amen? I ain't against buying Pastor Kelly some of them street tacos down at that Mexican restaurant she likes, even though if I'm coming from Dairy Delight over there to just, man, bless these guys with some food because God's blessed me like that. So every one of you, all of us need the peace of God ruling in our heart. All of us need to be speaking out, calling wisdom and knowledge. All of us. The Bible says that if any of us ask for wisdom, he'll give it to all of us. All we have to do is ask. The Bible says if we're in need of a car, Matthew 7:7, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives. Everyone that seeks finds. Everyone that knocks, it shall be opened. But you know, if something's not jinging with God, because I'm going to go back one couple steps. I was talking about anytime something don't go right in my life, I don't blame God. I blame myself. I search my heart and try to see where I messed it. I try to say, man, maybe I overthought this. Anytime something's ever went wrong in my finances, I try to check with God. And it's usually that I've got arrogant or that I've got off the road a little bit, and God's trying to say, hey, wake up here. It's not all about this. I need you all about this. Because, you know, just like Pastor Kel used this morning in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, if all the birds in the sky and not one of them fall to the ground that God don't know about, and God knows how many hairs are on each of our head individually, and they say that the DNA, they found the word in Hebrew for God in everyone's DNA. And it's like he signed in everyone's DNA, Jah, the Hebrew word for God, is in all of our DNAs because he's the originator and creator. And the last time I looked, even though the devil got the keys from Adam, and there's some curses on the ground, the last time I looked, the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But in John 10:27, we're going to go over that one more time. John 10:27, you know, it's about hearing God's voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Do you know God today, right now? Do you know God's voice in your heart? Do you let peace rule in your heart like an umpire, saying, no, this one's out. This one, wait. Wait for another one. This job over here will be better for you. I left Cloy's Gear 29 years ago, and everybody at Cloy's Gear, why would you go over to that place, Walmart? Why would you drive way, way over there across the river? Only had one problem in 29 years when the water from the flood was rising up, and they wanted us to go over or get a step. You know, they didn't care about the attendance records there, even though the bridge looked like it could fall. And that was the only real reason I ever had for messing to work, you know. I mean, the other reasons, you know, I sort of, you know, under the weather, my sister Mary, I was throwing up, and she had a sock she was throwing up in the air. She used to mess a lot of work when she was first a Christian. I don't know if I ever use that. I always like saying I'm under the weather, you know, and I had a suntan going on from mowing too many yards. But, you know, I'm driving across the bridge, and I had to pray. But I asked God to stop the flood. I asked God, you know, I was really scared that day, and God did something. Do you know God's voice? God told me to go to work. It'll be okay. But while I was driving over there, I was like Peter walking on the water, only I was Sam driving across the bridge, and I looked, and that water was so high. I thought, man, this is scary, man. You know, this looks like, you know, it could go. And I just started praying. Now, I was filming this like I thought I was filming it, and I was filming the water, you know, to warn everybody, like, hey, this is pretty scary. And I started praying from my heart, but I didn't know I was Facebook live feeding. And I used a word that really wasn't in the Jesus dictionary, according to some Christians. But I commanded that blankety blank water to go down, and it wasn't like a real bad word. But and in the name, but I prayed with passion, and right away I started getting calls. And one of my friends that I mowed her yard for 30 years said, "I've never heard somebody pray such a passionate prayer, and I've never heard the word freaking used in a prayer." And she said, but I could tell you was praying from your heart and you might be a little scared. And then I got to work and my buddy Joe Wooten's there. And he said he was on Facebook and there was three or four people there. And he said, all of a sudden I popped on doing the live feed and the guys heard it. And they said, man, ain't Sam a preacher? How come he's using that one word to pray? And Brother Joe said, Sam is from Chicago. They don't know what words to use down here in Arkansas. They still use them slang words from Chicago, but Sam means well. And he warned me, and I thought, how did I ever get on Facebook Live? So be careful if you're playing on the phone. You'll be Facebook Live, and your wife would be yelling at you or something, and it'd be all embarrassing. But I thank God today for everybody that's here. I'm going to end up with one verse in Matthew 18:18. And sometimes when we get down or we get out, sometimes when you don't listen for God's voice, and you make that decision to go the wrong way, and sometimes just life hits you and depression hits you, and you work 7 days a week for 2 weeks, 3 weeks in a row, and you're so tired, and the devil's messing with your mind, and he likes to mess with your mind when you're tired and tell you that the kids ain't going to get saved, the money ain't going to work right. He likes to tell you all these lies because he's a liar. He was the father of lies. He was a murderer from the beginning. But, you know, I've learned that when you listen to a liar more than enough, you have to cut him off out of your life. You have to cut him off out of your mind. You have to cut him off. You know, there's people that lie, and I like, you know, people that tell you about things that's going to kill you and to kill their relatives and all that. I've had people that were sick, and, man, my wife had cancer at that time, and not my current wife, but she died of cancer, but they were telling me about their mother and how she wound up in the nursing home for 20 years, and they had to do this, and they had to bring her home. And I was like, man, I really don't need to hear that negativity. But the devil is all full of negativity. He's not for your prosperity. He's not for your healing. He's going to try, but he'll try to get you when you're tired. So sometimes when it feels like the earth is going to swallow you up. Sometimes when it feels like all the problems in your life are coming at one time and there's not going to be enough money at the end of the month. Sometimes when you just feel plumb, drug out, tired, and like you can't go on. The devil is a liar. In Matthew 18:18, I promise you God in heaven will allow whatever you allow on earth, but God will not allow anything you don't allow. And in the King James, it says, whatsoever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever I loose in earth will be loosed in heaven. So the ground was cursed by God when Adam and Eve sinned. Sometimes in life when you feel like that ground's going to swallow you up and like you can't go on, you just need to go out to your garden spot and get a little piece of that dirt and say, in the name of Jesus, the curse has been reversed through the blood of Jesus Christ. And this earth that I live on, every place the soles of my feet go, I'm going to prosper and it's going to be mine. Every time I speak, the mouth, the living God's words are going to come forth and people's lives are going to get changed. Everywhere I go, this earth is going to yield a harvest and a crop, and it's going to produce positivity, success, blessings, salvation, ministry, prosperity in my life. Amen? And so has anybody just this week or any time felt like the earth was going to swallow you up? Has anybody felt like the problems were too much? Because I always go to this thing, and I was sitting back there, and I didn't know if God wanted me to use it, but I pictured Jesus saying, stay here and pray with me. And he goes off a little ways, and this was before he went to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I love that Mel Gibson movie because it's got that demon with the baby that represents the devil whispering around, and he's circling around where Jesus is, and he's telling him it's too much. You can't do it. You can't die for him. They're not worth it. And Jesus is sweating drops of blood there, but the devil's whispering in his ear. But if we all know what happened, Jesus prayed. He went back. His disciples were sleeping. And sometimes we feel like we're all alone. Sometimes it's just us. But it's good when we feel like we're all alone because the Bible says he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. When our fathers and mothers forsake us, are they leaving? They go to heaven. When they're gone, God's always with us. So if you felt like the earth was going to swallow you up, if you felt like it was too much, just raise your hand. And I'm going to just say a prayer. I see a few hands. Man, my hands is up. Sometimes I get overwhelmed just dealing with people. Sometimes I get overwhelmed. I'm on that last 2 hours at work, and I'll put a prayer request up, and I'll see, I don't know, 5, 6, 8, 10 people start saying a prayer for me. And I get lifted up, and I realize that I'm not alone, that God's with me. He's strengthening me. God, you see these hands. You know these circumstances. God, I just, you know, my hands are here, Lord. And right now, in the spirit, I ask your hands to touch everyone that has their hands up, Lord, because your good plan for their life is coming to pass. And no weapon formed against us, no weapon formed against them shall prosper, Lord. And all who raise up against them, they shall condemn. Father, I thank you right now that in the name of Jesus, you're going to do what you promised to do in every life. There's more than enough finances. There's more than enough health. There's more than enough time to accomplish the things that you put in their heart. There's more than enough ministry. There's more than enough calling of God on their life to fulfill the dreams and desires you put in them. The devil is a liar. I break the curses. I break the assignments of the devil. And in the name of Jesus, I loosen your blessings upon this people, Father God, that are here tonight. And everybody that we love that should have been here tonight. Bless those kids on vacation in Florida. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everybody.